Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome back to the Make It Right podcast with Kevin Snook. I'm your host, Janet Eastman, and this week we're looking at the possible roadblocks on the journey once you begin working your way through the Align process. And like all new things, you're bound to hit some challenges, but with your understanding of the Align process, you should be well equipped to work your way through them. Now, Kevin has outlined some of the usual obstacles that you might encounter in Chapter 8 of his book, Make It Right, Five Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. And we're actually going to address a few of them now, and that's what we're going to do. So, Kevin, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you, Janet.
Good. So I'm sure that when you run through this Align process with companies, there's probably one challenge that most companies run into once they get started. So what is that one challenge?
Yeah, I would say that before they get started, the big challenge is this just another flavor of the month type activity? And it's very important that the leader makes this not flavor of the month. That means it takes a real commitment to say, this is the way we're going to do business, and this is the way we're going to do our daily practices. So not just, you know, the statement, and you do the first day and you get everything written up, and you say, this is the way we're going to go. But really, you have to be committed to schedule this through, you know, through the next period of 18 months to make sure that not only are you getting things prepared, but you're willing to follow through with it until the culture changes. So I would say that before you get started, then the commitment from the leadership team is critical. Once you get started, you're going to get certain people that don't want to follow through with the process. You know, the stresses of daily activity, let's bypass this and go back to the way we used to do it. Those types of feelings that we've all felt before are going to come in. And at that point, it takes a real commitment from the leadership again to say, hey, look, we've scheduled this in over a period of time. Let's make sure we stick to the schedule.
Right. Now, do most leaders have trouble finding that necessary passion that kick starts this whole process?
A lot do. And it's a shame, really, because I think when we were younger, we had a lot of passion for things. And then when we get older, some of those passions, they tend to die away, where what I'd like to see is those passions get stronger and stronger as we get older. And I think the key is to really find what it is that turns you on as an individual, so that as you build that inspiration within yourself and that passion within yourself, that shines out. And so it does take a little bit of time for the leaders and for each person on the leadership team to figure out what this process means for them. You know, what is their true direction and how are they gonna move forward in that direction? Sometimes when we talk about passion, you know, people get a little bit concerned about it because it's like, oh, but I don't really have that deep driving passion that I feel like I should have. I would say there's something that's driving you in a direction. Try to be open to that. Understand what that direction looks like for you. And what type of thing is it that you're willing to stay late in the office doing, that you enjoy staying up late at night thinking through and figuring through? They're going to give you indications of what your true direction is. And then we need to build that into the business.
So once you've got your passion and you're moving forward, bringing the board and some of your leaders around to that passion has to be a challenge. You mentioned it a few minutes ago as well. What if someone actually challenges you with their better idea or process?
Right at the very beginning, we need to get very clear that we need to make a decision on which process we're going to use. Most people that are going to be, you know, listening to this and looking forward are going to have some concerns around where their business is right now and are going to be wanting to make a change in order to get better results. Now, there's 1,000 different ways that you can make a change to a company and move forward. The worst thing you can do is not make a decision. So we want to be able to get all of those challenges out in some kind of meeting at the beginning where we make a decision on, are we going to use this process or are we going to use another process? And just as I've said in each meeting, in the meeting, you should be, you know, fighting through that. You should be all sharing your opinions, making sure they're on the table. And then the group makes a decision and commits to that decision. When you walk out of the door from the meeting, you need to be committed. Now, whether that's the make it right align process or whether that's another process is entirely up to that group. But make a decision and then commit to that for the next 18 months and start walking down the path.
Okay. Once you're in that process, you're moving forward, everybody is committed, but resistance is going to raise its head. And likely in some part of the organization, maybe if this process is challenging a division's budget or whatever, and they see less money coming in for their arm of the business, how do you address that?
It's open discussion. This is where the relationships between each, you know, part of the leadership team are critical. We need to make sure that the overriding goal is achieving the goals of the business and not the goals of each individual group. And so having that discussion, having it openly, fighting through that with the relationships that we have, and then making a choice. There are going to be people who at some point are looking to block the business on its progress for their own personal needs. And we can go through the first step of discussing that through, asking them to commit to it. Frankly, if a leader cannot commit to the same direction that the business is moving in, then that leader needs to be happier somewhere else. And we need to have that conversation as well. And so if you've tried to get everybody aligned, if there are certain individuals that simply don't believe in the direction or are not willing to get aligned, then in business, we have to allow them to move on to something else and keep the business moving forward. One of the things that there was a survey that was done with CEOs around the world. And one of the questions when they were leaving their position as CEO was, is there anything you would have done differently? And the overriding answer that people said is, I would have moved faster. Mm-hmm. So I think that the feeling is, oh, we need to be careful. We need to make sure everybody's aligned. We need to really, you know, take this process and get everybody on board. The fact is, as a CEO, you have to move forward quickly. And so there are going to be certain people who find it harder to get on, and they'll get on over time. There's going to be a few people who are just not going to get on the boat, and you have to let them get off.
And some leaders might have teams that really want to get on with it and make more decisions on their own. And that's got to be difficult for a leader to sort of let go of the reins and let somebody else take over driving their part of the business.
Yeah, and this is one of the major challenges, is that there's certain leaders are bottlenecks for their organization. They want to be making all the decisions. They want to be the one who's seen as the one in control and in charge. And it is difficult to start letting go. But I've seen managers that really seem to be very hard-lined and very much in control of their part of the business, gradually start to see that, get a few wins, and then realize that they were the bottleneck. And sometimes that frank discussion is required. Is you are, you know, what you've done so far has got the organization to where it is, which is fantastic, but it's not allowing it to grow to the next level. And there's a time when we have to move from autocratic behavior to a much more involved leadership situation in order that everybody can play their maximum potential for the business. So there's a time when people need to let go, and we need to help our leaders do that. If they truly don't want to be able to do that, again, that's one of the people that needs to get off the boat.
When you do start seeing these successes, is it okay to celebrate even the very small victories?
It's funny, people feel, and I had this discussion very recently with a group that had achieved a fantastic result, and then they were afraid to celebrate that result because they were worried that, you know, the results might slip back a little bit over the next few months, and they would feel foolish for having celebrated something. And the analogy I use in the book is around the world, the football World Cup or the soccer World Cup. And, you know, they only play that once every 4 years. Imagine a team won that prestigious tournament and didn't celebrate because they were worried they might not win it again in 4 years' time. And it's crazy. We have to be celebrating. We have to be looking for the opportunities to celebrate our small wins so that we can continue, you know, keeping that level of energy high, recognizing the right achievements. and keep everybody moving forward.
Well, and it does feel good to celebrate. So even if you don't get to celebrate all the time, when you do get to celebrate the next time, it feels really good. So you want to keep trying.
Exactly. And you know, enjoy those parts, enjoy the small wins. We've in different companies, we've done things as small as, you know, when one team gets a record shift result. So the first time they've ever achieved something in one particular shift on one production line, then the entire factory would get ice cream at lunch. You know, like gifted ice cream at lunch. It's small little wins. And what it does is it brings the spirit up and we celebrate these as a team. I've always found that celebrations as a team are so much more effective than individual celebrations. And so if one team in the organization, let's say your quality department, has a particularly good result, then let's celebrate that as an overall group so that everybody knows how important quality is and can support each other department as we move forward together.
How many companies have you actually taken through the Align process, Kevin?
Ooh, I don't keep count. I've been in over 26 different countries. And obviously the Align process over that period of time has been growing. So it wasn't all completely, you know, finalized, right? You know, 25 years ago. So what I've been doing is I've been taking those nuggets from the companies that I've seen doing best and then re-rolling that into the process. The final Align process has been going for about 5 years, and there's been companies from around the world going through it. And the key for me is that not how many companies are doing it, but how successful are the companies that are doing it. And what we look for is a real significant change in the results, in the bottom line results of the company as it moves forward. Bottom line results come from, as I've said in many, many places in here, consistent, sustainable bottom line results come from a corporate culture that is supportive. And that's the key drive there, is to build that teamwork moving forward so that the bottom line results follow.
Can you tell me, give us an example of a result that is really impressive? Like, probably people have read the book or are listening to these podcasts and they're, well, let's just talk about the results. Like, what am I going through this process for? Like, what's the end game? What's the result look like?
Yeah, so we've seen, let me choose a typical answer, because I don't want to oversell the process, but we've seen, let's take, for example, scrap, which is a major issue in a lot of manufacturing companies. Scrap is product that was made that was not sold. We've seen reductions of 40% in the scrap rate of a business by working through this process. And that's within a pretty short time. So within 6 to 8 months, people have achieved a 40% reduction in scrap. Now, I've always said that it takes 18 months to change a culture and to know that the change is in place. But you start to see results much faster than that once you open up the eyes and the ears of everybody in the business.
So a 40% reduction in scrap, that is just money going in the bank, right? Because that's not money you're throwing away.
Scrap comes directly from the bottom line. So any money that you save in terms of scrap goes directly to the profits of the business.
Wow. Okay. The last chapter in your book is called, What Do We Do Now? After digesting all of the information, you say that the process is simple. Follow the Align 5 steps, write down your decisions, and start on the path. Start leading and help people get on with it, because people just really are looking for the CEO to be the leader.
Yeah, I think that's critical. It's you know, the book is, I don't know, 225 pages or something, but there's probably only 50 pages in there that explain the actual process. The rest is information to help you to lock that into your mind. So the actual process itself is not difficult, and I've designed this to make it simple because I know that business leaders don't have a lot of time. And so the key is to just follow through those steps, get started. It's your duty as the CEO, as the leader of a department, to drive the business forward. And it's your duty to have a very clear direction and a very clear process that people can follow to help you achieve the business goals. And so get started on the process is what I would say.
You also say that as the CEO, you're forbidden from making the process difficult for your team. You've got to keep it simple and get out of the way so people can do the job that you're asking them to do.
Yep. Every individual in that business is an expert, more expert in their part of the business than you are. And so you are forbidden from making this difficult. It shouldn't be difficult. It should be simple. But you have to lead it. And you have to be involved in that leadership process, but not involved in micromanaging the teams as they go through their daily work. And so the key here is that you're the leader, you set the direction, you help people overcome the barriers that they're going to hit, but you let them get on with the work.
Right. We've been actually talking about chapter 8, possible roadblocks on the journey. There is another chapter in the book, and it's chapter 9. And that's where basically it's the conclusion where you talk about how you're happy to be a sounding board if people have questions or want to talk things through. So next time on the Make It Right podcast, Kevin, we're going to get you to answer some questions that listeners send in. And they can send their questions to you at makeitrightbook.com. You've got a link there with your email address that people can just ask a question of you, correct?
Yeah, that's perfect. And I know that, you know, when anybody goes through a new process or is considering going through a new process, it's a big decision for the organization. And if there are questions that you have around, is this process right for us? Or as you go through the process, we hit a particular roadblock that we didn't expect, then I like to know how people are progressing. You know, how is it working for you, and what are the specific issues, and is there somewhere that I can help, you know, guide you through that process? And so every leader also needs to be able to ask for help and support. That's difficult when you're the head of the company, because who do you go to? But I'm here to help and support as people need that.
Great. Well, I think that's going to be fun to hear what people have to ask you. So next time on the Make It Right podcast, we'll be addressing listeners' questions. And don't forget that the book, Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Frontline to the Bottom Line, is available now on Amazon.com. So you can read those 50 pages that are all about the align process and get then all the background to help you work yourself through that process. Kevin, thanks very much again for your time. And I look forward to talking to you next time when we have some of those questions.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you. Thanks everyone for listening to the Make It Right podcast.